The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of this Friday happy, happy hour. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I feel like this has been the best political party of the week. Bill Press, James Santel, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. She's in the Shaw right now with you and Fancy Brian. And, of course, CJ sitting on hold just doing... like a frog in a pot. Just stew there, CJ. If you're well, patient enough, I'm sure we'll get to it.
We probably.
No, I kind of want to hear this. Like, oh, please.
Oh, you want to hear it? Oh,
yes.
Maggie's down. All right, Maggie, you are the guest of honor, so your will shall be done. CJ, welcome to the Devil's Advocates with Maggie Dawn. What do you got for us today?
Well, nice to meet you, Maggie.
Hey there.
You know, as I'm listening to you, you haven't discussed special counsel John Durham, because his court case is starting on Monday, and I'm sure Mike Crudy, you'll cover that, won't you?
That's the Sussman. I told you I absolutely will cover the exoneration of Sussman.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good luck to you and the special prosecutor assigned under Bill Barr and Donald Trump, who's still on a witch hunt for Joe Biden. And next, he's going after Hunter's laptop.
Do you care whether him and his associates visited Obama's White House 27 times? Do you care?
Do you care how many times Don Jr. and the daughters were in the White House? CJ, are you consistent about that with Trump?
Yes.
So you have a problem with the Trump kids making money off of their dad in the White House?
The problem is their case hasn't gone forward, and you're hoping in one hand and a scoop of Merrick Garland in the other, but this case is going forward because it's justified.
Do you have a specific question for Maggie Dawn, CJ?
CJ, let me just say, you are being just a skosh clever with that Merrick Garland statement, but go ahead.
Maggie, do you have any comment on the Durham investigation for our pal CJ?
Nope, that's not what we were talking about, but thanks, buddy.
All right. CJ, thanks for the call.
Have a great weekend, CJ.
9672.
Glad you helped.
I must be right. Thanks, CJ.
He called me poop.
All right, Maggie, let me throw this out there. The big news, I think, this week was the J6 coming down and doing this five subpoenas for Republican congressional members, of one of them, of course, being McCarthy. I want to get your sense of, we were looking at the New York Times article, and there's some clause in the Constitution with regards to the senators and representatives, specifically, quote, according to the Times, that they shall not be questioned in any other place, quote, unquote, about any speech or debate in either chamber. The Times reports that it's been broadly interpreted to cover all legislative actions, not just words. On its face, however, that clause is limited to questioning them in other places like courtrooms. Now, you know, there's been some reporting that this might be something that they're going to try to hide behind, right? They're up there saying, well, this is a witch hunt, but you could say that. But really the question is this a legitimate committee? Is this subpoena legitimate? And what is their legal defense for not showing up and complying with a lawful subpoena?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mind teaser, isn't it? So, let's get this straight. You were discussing treason, yes? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, because you're an elected official, a House committee of legitimate jurisdiction magically now can't question you about that. It's potential criminal activity.
Sign on with the devil.
Bingo. Thank you very much, Donald. I mean, this just makes no sense. And there's a number of these different sort of, you really wouldn't even call them immunities. What they are is temporal restrictions on when Congress people can be effectively like arrested and questioned about their legislative activity. And it's specifically designed effectively to prevent a vindictive president. having a hard time.
I mean, just to say, like, the last guy, for example.
Right, right.
I mean,
the orange guy, yes.
Right, yeah, yeah, that
guy. A vindictive president from literally pretextually arresting members of Congress so as to impact a pending vote.
So Joe Biden, under this, could not arrest Joe Manchin. And
stop being a dummy
and just keep him from casting a vote. If you're detained, you can't make the floor.
Right.
It's for that kind of thing,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It has absolutely no historical application to these kinds of facts. And any person with two gray cells to rub together, I'm talking to you, Jim Jordan, should know that, right? But this is just another smokescreen, just as if and just as like the Republicans after the Roe v. Wade overturned SCOTUS decision leaked, wanted to talk about how all Americans support restrictions on abortion. Not the fact that their carefully architected multi-decade plan to remove the right to an abortion worked. They didn't want to talk about that because that's not popular. So too here, right? Why are they talking about this antiquated rule? Because they don't want to talk about what they would actually have to talk about if they showed up to give testimony to the committee. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And here we are talking about that, not about what the content of their testimony would have been.
Hey, Maggie, Dawn, one last important question I'd like to think. I asked it of Harvey K. the other day. What's the best way to save democracy?
Wow. Stack the court.
Stack the court. That's a bold move.
Right? I mean, you're seeing just a complete perversion of what was intended, right? You have basically two illegitimate Supreme Court judges right now, and that makes all the difference, right? Oh, and also, let's not forget, two sexual assaulter harasser types, too. Like, isn't that lovely? I think the court completely lacks any institutional legitimacy right now and doesn't reflect the overall views and current moment of American culture, what the majority of us think about things. It doesn't resemble us at all.
But what some of the originalists and those would say, well, we can't move too fast. I mean, if we move too fast, people get upset. And, you know, change has to come slowly. And so when we have these lifetime appointments, it's a drag on the progress that you people would want.
Well, I actually think it's a great way to back into that solution, right? Which is you limit Supreme Court justices to like a 10-year or a 12-year term, right? That will ensure that you don't have some sort of inappropriate maneuvering as what happened at the end of President Obama's term.
Now, what if,
right?
What if like one of the spouses of a Supreme Court justice is involved in an insurrection, for example?
I'm looking at you, Clarence Thomas. I mean, how is this not a massive ethical problem? And so, yes, Tom, that, of course, is one of the other important reforms that our Article III judges need, and that is an enforced code of ethics when there are conflicts.
Bill Press, our fine guest earlier. Jim Santel, our fine guest in the 4 o'clock hour. Maggie Dawn in the Shaw. Thank you all. Thank you, Fancy Brian. Thank you, Dominic. Thank you, Evan. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll do it for you again on Monday.
Go, Bucks and Six.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Sign on with the devil.
Don't mess with the devil, buddy. We're number one. We beat anybody. We're the devils! The devils!